Hey, John Williams, it's a total double standard. Trump lies and gets off the hook. Harris gets criticized for making one gaffe. It's just awful. But the next two texts are either very pro-Trump or very anti-Trump, and that's the way it goes. Joe Khalil, how are you today, sir?
Hey, great. How are you, John? Good to be with you again.
I appreciate you giving us just a little summary here of the debate last night. Pardon me, the debate, the interview on a rival network, CNN. Just what's the general takeaway from that?
The general takeaway is she did well answering the questions, that she did no harm, which, you know, Donald Trump's reaction was boring. One word with exclamation points. Boring might have been the point for the Harris campaign, because right now she is riding this wave of momentum and charisma, and her poll numbers are surging. So the number one rule for her for this interview, which she had to do, she's getting pressure to do it, was do no harm, make no gaffes. And I think in that sense, they check and check. So a decent night overall for the Harris campaign. Even if they didn't necessarily move the ball forward, they certainly didn't do anything that moves backward. And so, mission accomplished.
Yeah. Boring is probably not that far off the mark, but that could also be seen as presidential, right? Serious. Not real entertaining. Serious.
Yeah, there was nothing that was bombastic. There was nothing outrageous. Again, I don't think Harris, objectively, I don't think she made any big waves. I think the biggest piece of news, if there was any news in there at all, was that she's open to appointing a Republican to be in her cabinet. I mean, she had to answer some questions about why her policies have shifted in a number of categories from 2020 up until now. She did get asked about two categories. I thought, personally, there were some other policy positions she should have been asked about that she did not get asked about. But, yeah, I think you're right. Overall, she came off serious. She came off presidential. There was a point where they asked her about the personal attacks from Trump, saying that, you know, she had denied her blackness or her black heritage, and she didn't take the bait. I think her whole response to that question was four words, which was same old tired playbook, and then she said next question. So essentially, we're not going to get in the mud with that kind of, you know, back and forth or take the bait on that. So she did come off, I think, serious, presidential, if you want to call it boring. I don't think that the Harris campaign would object much to that, frankly.
Yeah, right. In the interview, you said there were some issues that came up you wish that others had and didn't. One that seemed to get some attention was fracking. And I'd be very surprised if this election turns on the fracking issue. But for some reason, she's being painted as either insincere or a flip-flopper on fracking. What's the deal with fracking, Joe?
Well, the reason that it's even a discussion topic at all is because it's important to Pennsylvania. And we know, given how close this race is, Pennsylvania, a swing state with 19 electoral votes, which is the biggest of any swing state, it's going to be a big deal to them in Pennsylvania. So that's why we're even talking about it. In 2019 and 2020, when she was running for president, she was asked whether she would ban fracking, which I guess we should take a step back. For those who aren't aware, fracking is where you drill into the ground to reach natural gas or potentially oil that's under the ground, and there are consequences environmentally for that. 2020, she said she was for a ban on it. In an energy state like Pennsylvania, that's a big deal. Later, as she became VP, she was then against a ban, and now she maintains she is not supporting banning fracking. Her response to the question, why have you changed on that, is given her 4 years in office, she has seen that the Biden administration could put forward a very pro-climate, pro-environment agenda without banning fracking. That was her response. She says her values have not changed. That was the big soundbite. My values have not changed. I still support environmental policies, but she says we were able to enact many of those policies without banning fracking, and that's where she is today.
Is there much conversation about how Tim Walz answered questions or how much time Tim Walz got in that interview?
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of a non-factor. The big hype around him was just that he was there at all. Before the interview happened, you had a lot of Republicans, including the Trump campaign surrogates and their campaign team, you know, pointing to the fact that he was next to her as a crutch. saying, you know, she can't do an interview by herself. She needs Tim Walz to jump in if she has a gaffe or has a moment where her answer is awkward. That didn't really happen at all. In fact, we didn't hear from him at all unprompted. The only time that he talked, at least in the interview portion that was aired on TV, was when he got direct questions from Dana Bash herself. He did not answer any of Kamala Harris's questions. He didn't jump in at all. To me, he seemed to be kind of a non-factor. And what we saw on TV was Dana Bash asked him basically two questions, responding to, you know, allegations that he had misspoken about his military record and then his DUI back in the early 90s, I believe it was. And he didn't say much. He said, you know, my record speaks for itself. These questions have been asked and answered. Very proud of my military service. So he wasn't much of a factor. And I think certainly before the interview, there was more hype around his presence than after the interview.
Yeah. I wonder whose decision it was to have the two of them sit down with Dana Bash. I wonder if that's what the campaign wanted and they thought the optics were good. Or did CNN want the two of them there? We really don't vote for vice presidents. So I'm not sure why Tim Walz would have been there.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a couple of campaign folks just on background here, and the general sense I got from them was they like the optics of both of them together because they say there is genuine likability between the two, that they actually do enjoy each other's company. They like each other, and they say, you know, Walz himself is someone that the American public doesn't really know yet. So any chance that they can get to introduce both of them, they think is a good idea. And that may have been some spin from some folks around the campaign. They also posed the question that, you know, imagine the other side, a Trump-Vance sit-down interview together. They argued, the Harris team argued to me, would look a little bit more maybe awkward and forced and not as natural as the partnership that Harris and Walz have displayed so far. So they like that contrast. Again, I'm not, you know, entirely sure that's not just spin. And I think moving forward, we very likely are going to see Kamala Harris do more one-on-one interviews without Walz next door.
Well, she is the sitting vice president. She ought to be able to do it. And I've said all week that she has an obligation to be more available to the press. You know, we do have 2 months. That's a short time, but it's long enough for us to hear her and at least get an assessment of what she thinks she would try to do. You know, you've used the word spin a couple of times, and I don't think there's any hiding that. What is an election or campaign but spin? You're selling yourself. So if they thought those were good optics, so be it. You know, that they may take the risk of being criticized for that, but if they think that plays to their advantage, they get to do that. I got 30 seconds left with you. Any thoughts about the debate rules between Harris and Trump?
You know, it apparently is unsettled about the microphone issue. You know, I just think it's kind of ironic that it's now the Trump folks saying, hey, let's cut the mics, and the Harris team saying, nope, let's keep them open, because it was the exact opposite. It was the Biden folks earlier saying, cut the mics. You know, it just kind of funny how that works now, totally different sides of the issue.
I'm glad you're following it. Joe Khalil, Washington correspondent, News Nation. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, John, always good to be with you, man.